Hello and welcome to Great British Sewing Bee Unpicked, episode 2, Sports Week, with me, Rob.
And me, Sean.
And before we start, I have to do the little disclaimer. We are not associated with Love Productions, with the BBC, or with the Great British Sewing Bee. This podcast is just our own opinions that we are sharing. Right, so Sean, Sports Week, what did you think of the theme?
This is normally the week that I quite like because I do a lot of active wear, a lot of dance wear, a lot of costumey, stretchy stuff, and this week stressed me out. I would have cried if I was on this season. I mean that pattern challenge, that was brilliant, but evil.
Yes. So, yeah, it's a bit of a funny one this week, Sports Week, because I also like I like sportswear, leisure wear. I sew a lot of kind of leisure wear and stretchy stuff, but I'm not a massive sports fan. That's an understatement. So I'm always
Same.
I was kind of groaning a little bit when it's like, oh, it's sports week. But I enjoyed it. It was a bit of a strange episode in I thought everyone did quite well and there wasn't really any kind of real big mistakes or like any dramas. It was very kind of up and down for everyone. So we'll discuss that more later. But challenge one, which you mentioned a little bit, was the high top trainer in 4 hours. Now, this is the first time they've done footwear on the sewing bee. I never thought they would do footwear. I thought that is too specialist, but apparently they decided to be real sadists and give it a go.
I know. I mean, I get it. It's a new challenge. As Sewing Bee goes on, like people are going to be experimenting more with sewing. And the high top is a clever one because it's, I mean, this is going to sound really stupid. It is sewn together in traditional sewing styles. There's no specialist equipment really needed for it if you're just sewing a basic high top trainer. But this was genius and evil. I have no other words for it. It was genius but evil.
I would be really interested to hear what other previous contestants on Sewing Bee thought when they saw this and they saw that they were going to have to do high tops. It seemed like quite a difficult challenge for so early in the series and a lot of different skills involved, hand sewing and making sure you're lined up. And also, I think something that everyone really struggled with it was the eyelets.
I mean that is fair because unless it's something that you do regularly, it can be quite challenging, and you need to know what way you need to load the eyelets and how to use the eyelet tool. So I completely get it for those that have never used eyelets before. That is going to be daunting. And it is about lining it up properly. And it is one of those, if you make the mistake, you can't unpick it. You can't un-eyelet it your garment. You can't unpunch that hole in. It's a tricky one. I think that was where they needed to spend most of their time, was focusing on making sure that the eyelets were perfect. But yeah, it's one of those little details that you kind of think it's going to be nice and easy and you can get through it quickly. But if it's your first time doing eyelets, you need to take that time.
Yeah, and I think even if you kind of know what you're doing with eyelets, I think it can still be quite hard and you need to have quite a lot of kind of wrist and hand strength to really get them in there securely. So it is quite a tricky little thing that they've asked them to do. And so many, I think, was there 14 on each trainer? Yeah, there were seven on each side. Yeah, so 14 on each trainer. That is a lot of eyelets to put in.
Yes, it is. It was harsh. But genius, because there's only so much sports where they can really get the sewers to sew. We've had leggings, we've had yoga stuff. They're going to run out eventually. They're going to have to start reinventing some bits if they want new sportswear challenges.
I dread to think what they're going to do next year.
Yeah.
So shall we talk about the tops and bottoms? Should we start at the bottom?
Yeah, let's start with the bottom and work our way up.
So it was no surprise watching and seeing where she placed, bless her. Number 11, we had Angela, and she was just nowhere near finished.
No, this was the IKEA flat pack of high tops.
Yeah, it still needed constructing.
Yeah, it needed its instructions. It needed constructing. It needed glue. It needed that little tube of glue that you get to put the wooden dowels in. I felt for Angela because I really liked the fabrics she picked. But yeah, she struggled big time, which sadly resulted in an unfinished product.
I think there was some time management issues going on there, and just maybe not realizing how complicated and slow later steps would be, and spending too long on some of the earlier, easier kind of sewing steps, and then just kind of running out of time.
Yeah, I felt for her. I really felt for her then. But yeah, it's no surprise she ended up in last place. That wasn't good. That was no good.
No good. So moving on to 10th place was Jill. And she had a blue, pink and black pair. And kind of one of them was finished and the other one wasn't finished.
Yeah, there was one I think she just misaligned. Yeah, cute. They were cute. They were better than the first pair that we saw. bless her. Yeah, to be honest, I was actually surprised at how many finished these, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
It was just one of those. I mean, how many people do you know that go, I'm just going to sew myself a pair of high tops this weekend? I'm going out Friday night, so I need to sew myself a new pair of high tops. Yeah, I like Jill's. It was a shame it wasn't quite as finished.
I didn't even know that you could sew yourself a pair of high tops. I'm assuming you can just buy those soles, like from a haberdashery or somewhere, like a specialist maybe.
I imagine so. I will look on eBay afterwards.
Are you going to make a pair?
No. I will stick to buying shoes then, rather than making them.
Talking about making things, someone did send me a message and reminded me that we had agreed to do one of the challenges in the last series in episode 8 or 9, I think. So we need to go back and listen to that so we can actually decide on which challenge we're going to do.
Okay, I'm just putting it out there, not the shoes.
No, we are not doing shoes.
Not doing the shoes, no.
Definitely not doing shoes. So that's kind of Jill's. So moving on to number 9 was Chi-Chi. And she kind of used a blue... I don't know whether it was like a denim or a chambray with the stars on. And then
I thought it was a denim. To me, it looked like a denim and they weren't really specific. But I thought it was cute. I thought they were quite cute. They were the sort of trainers that teenage me would have gone out and bought them. Worn with my emo skinny jeans and my back shirt with my long fringe, and God, I missed being skinny with long hair. But yeah, I thought she actually did quite a good job. It was just a bit of a shame that but then I'm not surprised. I'm more surprised that there were people who finished this challenge.
Yes. Well, talking about people who finished, should we go jump to 3rd place?
Sounds like a plan.
That was Marnie, and she had used like a green tweed with kind of like an African like pinkish fabric, and then some black trims. And I thought they were really cute.
I loved these. I love the colour. I love the style of it. Again, these would have been the sort of high tops that I would have bought in my teenage years, and I really want a pair now.
Well, then you'll have to drop her a message to get her to make you a pair.
Yeah, see what size the ones she made are. But yeah, I thought these were really cute. I liked the fabric dress. I also thought it was smart using tweed because it's quite a sturdy fabric. So I imagine that would make some pretty strong lasting trainers.
Yes, strong but stinky.
Yeah, that, as Patrick did point out, they were going to get smelly.
Is it? I think it's something to do with the production of tweed, isn't it? They use something in the production, like urea or something, and it really does give it quite a distinctive smell. And when it gets wet, you really can smell it more.
I did not know that.
Yeah, I remember watching a documentary or something about, well, it wasn't specifically about tweed, but it had that on it, and they use something in production. Maybe I will look that up and I will put it in the notes on Instagram. But yeah, that was quite interesting when Patrick was talking to Richie about his tweed trainers.
I did not know that they would use that. That's just ruined tweed for me now.
No, it hasn't.
I now kind of imagine Patrick has this whole team of people with umbrellas to make sure he doesn't get wet if it rains. So he doesn't smell. I'm never going to be able to look at tweeds in the same way ever again. That's really thrown me off. I've learned something today. That's, yeah, wow. That's actually taken me back a little bit. I'm like, yeah. Anyway, moving on from stinky tweed.
Yeah, to number two, which was Annie, and she had done like pink and blue, and it had a little star detail on the toe and on the heel. And it was really neatly well sewn.
It was really good. And I loved the fact that she took time to make sure that the heel and the toe were pattern matched. I thought she did good. I thought she did really, really good. I was really impressed with these.
Something about the top three as well, something they all kind of seem to share. They all seem quite calm sewers. Even when Annie was kind of saying like, I don't know if I can do this, and she was like a bit unsure, she still has got like a very calm presence about her.
Yeah. It's the crystals. But saying that about the calm sewers, I mean, though you are the person who came in first place was very calm, she also lost her tongue.
She did, Manny. So she she produced a leopard with burgundy and blue accents, and I've put here two massive ticks next to it. She was, apart from that moment where she kind of lost her tongue and she was looking for a tongue, which I would be freaking out, she also is quite a calm sewer, I think, and she just kind of gets on with it, head down, you know, just plows through, and she's not like flapping or like panicked, and she looks very kind of calm and steady.
I mean, I could already imagine most people who know me pretty well would know these would have been my absolute favourites. I completely get why she used that burgundy, because there was burgundy in the leopard print. She pulled that colour out. She matched it. They were beautiful. I would have loved it in yellow, mustard preferably. But yeah, oh my God, I just adored these. But as I put in my notes, don't talk about these too much. People are going to think you're biased. So I'm going to leave it there. But I will just say, I really felt for Manu when she was looking for the tongue. Because the amount of times I've just cut something out and then I've lost it, and you're going, oh my God, what the hell have I done with it? It was literally in my hand 2 seconds ago. What the hell have I done with it?
Yeah.
I think most people can relate to that when you've literally just cut something out and gone, what did I just do with it?
I've lost pattern pieces. I've lost cutout pieces. I've got quite a small, it's our spare room, which is kind of a box room, which has been converted over lockdowns into a craft room. And I've lost things. I've immediately cut something out and then lost it and had to cut a second piece out because I can't find the first one.
And then did you find the first one after you sewn it all together?
In one case, I did. And in the other one case, I have a feeling it got scooped up with what I thought was scraps and it got put in my recycle bag. Because now I'm trying to keep even the small scraps. What I do when I'm doing a project is I separate my scraps into three sizes. I've got my big scraps, which I can use for stuff I can maybe make projects with. Got my medium scraps go in one bag, and I donate those to a local charity that they provide like materials and like hobby, like crafty stuff to schools. And then my really little scraps I keep in another bag, and I'm using those to stuff things, like if I make a toy for somebody or like anything that needs kind of stuffing, I cut them up into kind of
sounds little... good.
Yeah, so I'm trying not to throw any fabric away, no fabric to go to landfill.
Sounds fantastic. I mean, I have done the, I've cut out, lost it, cut out another piece, and then I've maybe gone for like a coffee break, come back, forgotten about that panic and gone, hang on a minute, why have I got two of these pieces? And then I'm looking at it going, why have I got two? I didn't need to. What the hell's happened? But then I'm very accident prone and I have very bad memory, particularly my short-term memory. So I imagine it's all the childhood head traumas that I had falling over as a child that have made me who I am today. But anyway, before we ramble on about my random tripping over and running into doors and stuff, shall we go to the made to measure?
Yes. So the, oh, wait a minute, transformation challenge.
Oh, yeah. That's what I meant to say.
That's the one.
So short-term memory, head trauma.
When we met up, you really should have been wearing a helmet, I think.
Yeah, that's probably, I mean, to be fair, when we met up, now, for anyone who listened last time, Rob and I have been chatting for ages. We became friends before the pandemic happened, before we went into lockdown, had made plans to meet up, go for a coffee, and then we went into lockdown. So it's been a ongoing developing friendship, very long distance. And it was very bizarre because we met up and it was hard to believe that we hadn't actually met up before. But yeah, I think it was safe to say I should have been wearing a helmet that day. At the same time, after standing in that queue for so long, just waiting for my vanilla latte, it was probably a good thing I didn't have something heavy on my head to headbutt people with. Not going to name the place, but whilst Rob was eating his lunch, we were having a lunch together. Whilst Rob was eating his lunch, I was still waiting for mine in the queue. And then got challenged as to whether or not I'd bought it, despite the fact that Rob had just paid for it 15 minutes ago. Anyway, rant over.
That's
why you do not leave me waiting for a coffee.
I'll leave them one star on TripAdvisor, don't worry.
Sounds like a plan.
But we had a lovely day out, though.
We did. It was brilliant. And we got to hang out with Mark Francis, which was amazing, and his partner, and lots of other amazing people. It was really lovely. It was a brilliant day out. Right.
All right. Before we...
Transformation.
Yes.
Transformation. Not the made to measure. Transformation.
So we have a netball kit. Has to be transformed into elegant daywear with pleat detail, and they could use netball skirts, bibs, and netball top, I think.
Yes, yeah. So there was the netball bibs, tops, and the pleated skirts that they could use for this. What did you think of this?
It's a tricky one because when I saw the skirts, I got quite excited and thought, oh, there's a lot you can do with that. But it seemed maybe trickier to work with than I had originally thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought there were some really ingenious ones. There were two in particular that I absolutely loved. Maybe three, actually. And then there were some kind of dodgy ones. So should we start at the bottom again?
Yeah, but before we start, can I just say Patrick and Esme's banter with each other, particularly in this challenge, of Patrick turning around to Esme and she was saying about having to wear the... She was talking about when she used to play netball and she was saying about how she had to wear the pleated skirts and the baggy knickers. And then Patrick just turned around and needed a ladder. I was like, oh, that is harsh, but very, very funny. And this is why I love these two, because their banter is so, so good. I think they are such a brilliant duo. And I don't think anyone else could ever replace them on this show.
I know. I love those little bits. I would really love to see all the little bits that don't make it onto the show as well. Because I'm sure there is plenty of those two just having a little banter and it just gets edited out because of time or whatever.
They don't have enough time for it. Maybe they just need to make one special episode like every year of just all of the banter bits. Do like a blooper reel at the, like, just before they show the final, do a blooper reel.
Oh, that'd be amazing.
There we go, BBC. Love Production Sewing Bee. If you are listening to this, you can have that idea, but Rob and I will take a commission.
Right, shall we talk about number 11, Annie?
Yeah.
So it was a blue, white and red kind of long top that was almost a dress, but not quite. And then it had this weird gap at the front. Esme commented that you have to wear good knickers with it. I don't know what... I think maybe Annie just went blank.
I think she had a bit of a sewing brain fart. I didn't quite understand it. I don't really even think Annie really knew what it was supposed to be. I felt really bad for her in this because I always got a very strong creative vibe from Annie. It was just a bit, okay, that's nice. Well done. Move on swiftly.
Do you think that sometimes if you sit there, maybe you spend the first 10 minutes, like maybe sketching out what you want to do, and then you can almost form a plan in your head that will give better results than if you just start throwing stuff at the mannequin and pinning and stuff? Do you think maybe she needed a little bit longer in the planning stage to kind of work out where she
might have done? But I mean, do they know what week the week is going to be before the week actually happens? Or do they find out there and then?
I think they know it's sport week, but they wouldn't know what the transformation is going to be.
Yeah. I mean, that is fair enough, but then at least you've got a rough idea of what you might be working with. Yeah, I felt bad for Annie on this.
She did so well in the first round.
That was quite a harsh drop going from second to last place.
But I feel like she was still kind of, because she did so well in the first round,
yeah,
it almost saved her a bit.
Yeah, oh, definitely, definitely, definitely. But yeah, I don't really have anything to say. I just felt bad for her.
Well, let's move on to Richie then. So Richie was number 10, and he produced a pair of breeches, which were purple and black with a white... I don't even know what that, like a bib section that opens up with like two buttons. I'm sure there's a name for it. I don't know.
I mean, the name that I gave it on my notes, I don't think I'm allowed to say on the podcast, so I'm not going to say it. We might lose quite a few listeners.
We've only got three, Sean. Don't lose them.
Yeah, no, we really can't lose our listeners right now. I felt bad because initially, when he just had the first two colours, I thought this was going to be really clever. Because everyone else was going for tops, so he went for shorts. I thought this was actually really genius because it was nice and simple. And I think what ruined it was adding that kind of bib at the front. I I get that you didn't really have enough fabric for it, but yeah, I thought it was a really good, really, really good idea. It was just really poorly executed, and I think he did a classic transformation challenge panic of, I haven't done enough, I need to add something, rather than going, you know what, I'm happy with this, I'm going to leave it as it is.
Yeah, I agree with you that I liked when it was just the shorts, when it was just the purple and the black shorts. I thought they looked quite chic.
Yeah.
Almost, dare I say, a little Parisian or something.
Mm-hmm.
I thought they were really cute. And then I just didn't get the need for the white bit. I think maybe he was thinking, if I just produce a pair of shorts, the judge is going to say, this isn't enough.
Yeah.
I don't know if he could have added something extra without the bib section. I don't know if there was something extra he could have done. I'm not sure. Or just made sure that actually the fit and the finish was really good, maybe.
Yeah, I think that was a panic moment.
And I really like Richie, and you got to see a lot more of him in this episode than in the first episode. The only thing that worries me about Richie is he's very into his historical costumes. He loves doing historical pieces, but it worries me because it reminds me of other reality shows like RuPaul's Drag Race, where you might have a drag queen who is very connected to a certain thing and being like, I only wear grey wigs.
Yeah.
And judges are all like, we want to see something different. You can still be you, but we want to see something different. So I want him to show some other areas, not just the historical, because that's fantastic, but maybe some more kind of modern references in some of his transformations or eight measures, maybe.
In the grand words of Michelle Visage, we want to see some versatility, and that I have got the same worries you have. I really like Richie. I think he's very adorable. He's definitely got some talent behind him. I love the fact that he's into historical costuming, and when he started talking about corsets, and like when he and Esme got talking about her pants collection, I was like, that is a conversation I want to be a part of. But yeah, I do worry he's very set in his ways, and he's going to be too scared to step out of that box. And it's great to have that, but on a show like Sewing Bee, you need to be able to adapt your style. And actually, there are so many amazing designers that are able to take like historical style clothing and make them modern. I mean, look at, Vivian Westwood has done a lot of corset tops, and they're based on basques and like the old stays, not basques, stays. And they look amazing, and they're coming back, those old style corsets are coming back into fashion, but they're historical, but they're being given a modern twist. I do worry that he's just going to stick to his guns, and that might be the end of him quite early on in the competition.
Right, we'll leave Richie's britches there. So number 9 was Christian, who produced like a V-neck, and it was teal and, well, kind of, I think, like dark teal and burgundy. It was fine. Like, I have no, like, it was all right. It was a bit messy, but there was nothing awful about it.
No, it was all right. Whether or not he deserved the place that he got, maybe he could have come up a little bit higher, but yeah, it was all right. It was nice. I would like to see a bit more from Christian. I think he's going to be the Raph of this season. I think he's going to go a long way, and he's going to show us some amazing skills. So I would like to see some more of him. We'll need to wait and see. But yeah, it was, this transformation was all right.
Before we move on to top 3, I want to do a shout out to Chi Chi with the red and black outfit that she did. Although it was messy in areas, it was giving me all of the Disney villain vibes, and I was loving it.
Yeah, I really, really liked Chi-Chi's one. I wasn't necessarily getting Disney villain. I was getting like old school Harley Quinn from DC Comics.
Okay, yeah.
That her old classic comic book costume was the black and red checkerboard leotard. Yeah, I really liked it. It was giving me proper geeky goosebumps. I mean, Harley Quinn has always been like one of my absolute favorites. So when I saw it, I was like, oh, I love this. yeah, she definitely deserves a shout out. I really enjoyed Chi-Chi's. I think she should have come up a little bit higher. But again, I kind of understand why she was given the place that she was.
Yeah. So moving into the top three, we have Marnie, who produced a sculptural top. It was black, and she had kind of hand sewn some of the pleats together, so it kind of held its shape. I agree with Esme's and Patrick's comments that I didn't really need the ribbon. To me, the ribbon kind of cheapened it a little bit, because I've seen that ribbon at Hobbycraft and stuff, and it just doesn't look like, you know, high end. But the actual top itself did look quite high end. So I mean, I really liked it. Take that ribbon off, and I was like, chef's kiss. Yes, please.
I thought this was genius, and this is what I wanted Richie to do, was keep it simple. And actually, sometimes I think if you keep it simple but execute it well, it's better than going completely all out batshit, adding every bell and whistle you can find in the haberdashery to it. I thought this was really, really smart. It was simple, but elegant and creative. I completely get what the judges meant about the ribbon. I did have to watch it a couple of times just to listen to Esme say it didn't need the bow. That took me by surprise, and I might need to make that my ringtone. I might set that as the ringtone for you. Whenever you text me, it goes, it didn't need the bow.
I didn't know people's phones still made noise. Mine is set to silent constantly. So
mine is, unless I accidentally turn it back on again, and then it scares the living day. Especially as when I've set... My family have all their own individual ringtones, which is stupid because I paid for these ringtones and then set my phone on silent. But the ringtone I have for my elder sister is the T-Rex roar from Jurassic Park. And I was in the post office one day, stood there chatting to the woman behind the counter, set, like posting all this stuff off. Next thing, my sister texts me, and it scared the living daylights out of me. So yes, phones still do make noises, but yeah, only when we forget to put it back on silent.
Right, let's back on track.
Yeah, let's back on track. Let's back on track. Sorry, everyone.
So number two, we had Deborah, and she had like a cobalt blue top, which had the most amazing pleat work, kind of smocking. I thought it was really modern, cool. It was giving me origami vibes. It looked very chic and high end, and something you would buy off kind of Farfetch or somewhere. It was just stunning. Like how she did that in 90 minutes, it was just blew my mind. So I just have to like take my hat off to Deborah. I'm not keen on the term Debra Zebras. I'm going to stick to smocking. But I thought the top was stunning.
It was brilliant. And again, she played it smart. She actually kept the top quite simple. But she decided to really, like they said, they wanted to use the pleats as a feature. And she made those pleats a feature. It was very, very clever. She definitely spent her time doing the right thing. She definitely deserves the place that she got, because that was brilliant. Like you, not a fan on the whole Debra Zebra thing, but you know what, it was genius. I will let her have it. I thought it was brilliant. I thought it was very, very clever. Where everyone else did the just using the pleats as they were, she elevated it, and I thought that was genius.
Yeah, to be honest, I would have liked to have seen her and, spoiler alert, Brogan, who came first. I would have liked to have seen them both joint first.
Oh,
because I loved Brogan's, and it was a white with green and yellow trim, and she'd used the green and yellow bibs to form a skirt, and she'd used like a bias binding tape to create interesting shapes and straps on the top. And it was amazing. It was fantastic. It was giving me very kind of almost anime character or cheerleader vibes, and I was living for it, and I thought it was amazing. But for very different reasons, I thought her and Deborah's were both outstanding, and I was like, oh, maybe there could be a double first place. What did you think?
I liked Brogan's. I definitely got cheerleader vibes from it, and she definitely used the pleats. I do kind of feel like Deborah should have been first, though.
Oh.
Just because she elevated the pleats a little bit more. But no, Brogan did a really good job. It was very cute. It was very her. She's another one I am a little bit worried. She's a very cutesy sewer.
Mm-hmm.
So I do worry that we will kind of start to see a lot of similar outfits. It's only a small worry. I think she's very, very talented, and I think she's got a bigger arsenal of sewing skills that we're yet to see. But I do worry that we're just going to constantly stick to that very cutesy, girly kind of style. I would like to see something a little bit more from her. But yeah, it was cute. I liked it. I definitely got the cheerleader vibe. I thought she did very well. And actually, she did a lot in that time. Well done, Brogan. Well done.
Yeah, she had really done so much sewing. And when you looked closely, when they did kind of close-ups of it, it was so neatly done as well, mm-hmm. which I know I would be struggling with under that pressure. My lines would be wobbling all over the place, and I'd have raw edges. But when you looked at it, it was so well done. She had really worked incredibly fast and neat to get that done. And it was layered. It was kind of layered on top of, there was a skirt, yep. and then there was another kind of skirt on top of that. And then she'd use the pleats in the shoulder straps. And so mm-hmm. she used pleats in different way. And I think that's probably why the judges gave it to her. But I'd imagine that they must have really been quite a difficult decision for them to come
yeah.
to. But well done. I mean, well done all of them. I think they all yeah. did a fantastic job, really.
They did really well. I mean, it's definitely a challenge. But I mean, I think that's why I think the transformation's probably one of the harder challenges for them to do, because it is a short space of time. You're given a random garment, whether it's ugly cat jumpers or someone's PE kit or old Rain Max, and you're given an hour and a half to create an outfit, design it, sew it, and then display it. That's I do think the transformation challenge is the hardest one out of the lot.
Yeah, and if you look back at like series one in the transformation challenge, it was like, we've provided you with the top, put on a patch pocket.
Yeah.
And now it's like, here is 4 meters of tarpaulin, make a wedding dress, and you've got 12 seconds.
PVC tablecloth. We want you to make it into an elegant... God, I can't even get my words out. An elegant ball gown for the Met Gala. It's like, okay.
Yeah, and it's mad.
You've got poor Ethel in the background, who's got the one with like the kittens playing with yarn on tablecloth. But yeah, it's definitely a challenge. It's one of my favourites, but I do think it's the hardest one.
Yeah, definitely. So that was the transformation challenge. Next up, we have the made to measure. So we have 5 hours to create a sports jacket based on a sports hero. Going into this, I think really Christian and Chi Chi were in the danger zone, because they both kind of were in the lower end of the rankings on both of the previous challenges.
Yeah, I thought I was a little bit worried that Richie was at risk of going home as well, though he did fare all right with the high tops. I wasn't massively blown away with the shorts, and I thought maybe this is what could be the thing that gets rid of him, especially as like Chi Chi actually did better than him in the transformation. I thought maybe she'd saved herself enough, because she didn't do ninth place and then she went to eighth place, so she wasn't at the bottom of this episode. So I kind of thought she might have saved herself a little bit, but Richie was the one that I was worried about. But yeah, so shall we start with Angela?
Yes, but before we do that, okay, if you had to do this one, do you have a sporting hero?
You know what? I knew you were going to ask it.
I'm that predictable.
I had literally been looking and racking my brains trying to think of some sports person that I would design something after. And after all this time, I still can't think. I was the kid at school who actively protested organized physical education. And by actively protest, I mean, when it came to playing football, I stood near the goal and didn't bother actually trying to save any of the goals. When it came to running, I was the one that walked around it. When it came to playing like team sports, I was the one that tried sneaking off to the toilets to avoid playing. So I don't really have any sports icons. You know me, I love my circus stuff. I love doing acrobatics, but there's not really any celebrity in that area. I don't know. I don't think I'd have one. Maybe an ice skater. Just some random one that I found on the internet.
Yeah, I kind of struggled. I was thinking what I would do, and I was thinking, would Jet and Hunter from 1990s Gladiators, are they sporting heroes? Gladiators? That's probably a bit too old for reference for you, isn't it?
No, I absolutely loved Gladiators as a kid. And you know what? In my old job, one of the residents that I used to look after had all of the episodes recorded. In my world, I would have said 100% yes, you could base your sportswear jacket off of any of the Gladiators, and I probably would have gone for Jet. But sadly, I think they were aiming for
like Olympians,
Olympic gold medal winners, someone who actually participated in a family-friendly, non-spandexy kind of sport.
So that means I couldn't have one of the weightlifters or wrestlers then?
Probably not.
I'm going for one of the gymnasts. That'll be one of my sporting heroes. I'll do the gymnasts.
Okay, sounds good. I'll do ice skaters, you do gymnasts. That's the safe way to do it.
And so a couple of other things I noticed. There were a lot of people using scuba, which I thought was great. I love scuba.
I knew you would love that. I knew you'd love scuba.
I've done a number of like hoodies and jackets with scuba before. Scuba and neoprene. I love it. It's so, so beautifully. And you can make it into such kind of sculptural shape. So I very much enjoyed that. The other thing I noticed as well was it seemed like on most of their jackets, they were doing set-in sleeves. Now, if I was going to be doing a jacket like this, and I've done quite a lot of like sports jackets and hoodie kind of jackets, I normally, if I can, put the sleeve in flat and then sew down from wrist to waist. And I know there's a lot of people out there who are very diehard. Oh, you shouldn't put sleeves in that way. You know, you should set them in properly, you know, do the shoulder and side seam first and then make the sleeve into a tube and then set it in and do that. But you know what? It just is easier to do it flat and then go from wrist to waist. And I don't think normal people looking at that jacket would be able to tell much difference, to be honest.
You know what I would have done? I would have done a raglan sleeve.
Okay, yeah.
You don't have to worry about that bit. That's why I tend to, if I'm making stuff for myself or if I'm making stuff for my friend's little girl, I'm always doing raglan sleeves because they're so much easier. And I think you get to play around with like contrasting fabrics a bit better as well, because it's not just a sleeve, it goes up to the neck.
Yeah, I love the idea of raglan sleeves, but every time I've done them, I'm never sure whether they kind of suit my body shape and shoulders.
That's fair. No, I love a raglan. They actually make my arms look nice. Anyway,
right.
You're the one distracting us this
Sorry.
Time. Not me. It's normally me who's causing the diversion. Right, so Angela, she started... So her athlete was Freddie Flintoff, and she was doing a blue and white jacket with a God, why can I not get my words out today? A Lancashire Rose pocket, which I thought was a really, really good idea. I love a contrasting pocket. I love an interesting pocket because, you know what? Yeah, you don't always see them, but you know it's there.
Yes, I agree. I like that as well. Yeah, I thought it was fine. I split all the sewers into tops, okays, and bottoms. And for me, Angela came in my okay group.
Yeah. There was a shame about the contrast neckline and the top stitching. Yeah, because she'd used a contrasting thread on it. So had she just stuck, I think it was, she's red. I mean, I can't remember now.
I think it was blue on a white background.
So had she done white stitching, they wouldn't have noticed it. So it was just a little bit messy, but I still really like this. I thought it was a cute idea. She gave a nod to Lancashire. She gave us a bit of a history lesson about what way up the rose needs to go. Yeah, I liked it. I got it. It was okay. It was just a shame about the mistake. I think had she just been a bit more sensible with the contrasting thread, she would have ranked a little bit higher.
So was she one of your tops?
I would have probably put her higher up in the okay pile.
Okay. Right. Who do you want to talk about next?
Should we go to Annie? I mean, I've got everyone in alphabetical order.
Okay.
Once we get down to the like final six, it makes it so much easier for me to organize everyone a bit better. But at the moment, while we've got so many, I have to put everyone in alphabetical order.
Okay, alphabetical. Right. So Annie, she had a green and pink scuba jacket. It looked very well sewn to me. It looked like it fitted really well. It looked like something you could easily buy from, you know, a good quality high street store. Personally, I didn't love the colour choice. That colour of green doesn't really do anything for me. I understand, you know, maybe it had meanings, you know, other meanings in there. I just wasn't a massive fan of the colour, but the jacket itself looked fantastic.
The jacket I thought was incredible, and that curved seam she put on it was phenomenal. She handled that fabric so well. And as you would know, and anyone else who sews with something that's a bit stretchy, it doesn't take much to warp your seam when you're doing something with stretchy, especially if you're doing something like a curved seam and one of them just gets a little bit of ripple and it's not something that you can just easily iron out. One, because you should not really iron anything with stretch because you're just going to melt it. But you know what? I thought it was good. Like you, wasn't a fan on the colours, but I got the nod to Serena Williams and I think she just executed it really well.
Yeah. So moving on to Brogan, who produced a blue, pink, white and red jacket. I've just written down here, looked fantastic. I thought she was one of my tops.
Oh,
challenge.
Definitely. It was Jessica Ennis inspired. It was really, really good. I love the chevron effect that she put on it. Again, someone who really, really thought about it, planned their time perfectly. Yeah, it was brilliant. I really, really loved it. She definitely deserves to be in the top pile.
So moving on to the C's, we've got Chi-Chi. Now, Chi-Chi's jacket had a lot of meaning in all the different elements, but I was a little bit worried that maybe, again, like last week, she had taken on too much to do in one jacket. Maybe she should have chosen one of the elements, or, you know, a couple of the elements to really concentrate on, because it was a white jacket. It was asymmetrical with one sleeve. The sleeve was lace, and then it had the patches, and the patches were representing the four seasons, which are a callback to the song that was playing when the ice skater that she was referencing had done their final display. I thought that the patches with the four season was a little bit of a stretch for me. I didn't see how they tied in that strongly without someone explaining that to me. I wouldn't have got it. Whereas yeah. I understood as soon as I saw the one sleeve and the lace, I knew what that was referencing, but the four seasons was just a little, and it seemed to take her a long time to do those patches, and they really kind of pinched and puckered, and I could have done without them, to be honest.
I do agree with you. I think she put a bit too much into this jacket. I loved the fact that she was, and I do apologise if I pronounce this wrong, but I think the ice skater was called Saria Bonnelly. And I do know little bits about her, apart from how to pronounce her name, because I'm really awful at name pronunciation sometimes. But she was an ice skater who did a banned move at the Olympics. So backflips were banned at the Olympics in ice skating, because to execute it perfectly, you had to land on one blade. But obviously that is incredibly dangerous because you're going backwards with razor blades on your feet on ice. And she was like one of the first ice skaters to do a perfectly executed backflip and land on one blade. And I have seen it numerous times on Facebook and Instagram and on videos, and it is amazing. So I would just like to say I loved the fact that she based her jacket on this ice skater. I just apologize that I am really rubbish at pronouncing names. But yeah, I think I didn't quite like the one-sleeved idea. I got it was different. I just, as a sports jacket, a jacket's supposed to keep you warm. And missing a sleeve is not going to help with your body temperature. The appliques for the seasons, yeah, I think she just gave herself too much, and it's a shame because actually I think that could have been utterly amazing, but she just gave herself too much to do in a short space of time, and I think she just needed to really narrow down that design. I loved the idea. It just needed tailoring a little bit.
Yeah, I know why she did. I know why she did the one sleeve, because the runner that she had chosen used to often wear one leg, so she was paying homage to that. But I think it would have looked really cool with two lace sleeves, especially if they'd been a bit puffy as well.
Yeah,
I thought that would look really cool. Like, Chi-Chi, if you make that jacket again, oh, you should definitely do it two lace sleeves. I think that would be so awesome.
Or even still paying homage, do one lace sleeve with maybe a nude underlay underneath and then one bold sleeve. And then you're still giving that kind of nude sleeveless look, but it's still got two sleeves, if that makes sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. Moving on.
Christian. Yep.
Who had produced a blue, white, and grey jacket. He didn't use scuba. He looked like a ripstop or something. It was like light. I thought he really saved himself here from the danger zone. It looked very commercial. Lots of guys would love to wear that jacket.
Oh, hands down. The sewing was impeccable. I got the nod to Tom Daly. Yeah, it I got this diving reference. It was brilliant. I thought this was fantastic. He really, really saved himself, because I mean, he wasn't doing too bad. Eighth and then ninth place. He and Chi-Chi kind of swapped in positions during the first two challenges. But yeah, I think he really saved himself. And this is what I mean by, I think we're going to see some incredible things come out of Christian. I just think he just panics a little bit when there's a tight time constraint.
Yeah, I agree. I think Christian's got a lot of stuff up his sleeve. So I'm hoping he goes quite far in the competition so we can see that. Something else that cropped up that I wanted to talk about quickly was the fact that we had a mixture of male and female models, and it seemed like perhaps the contestants chose whether they wanted to have a lady or a male model.
Yeah.
And that reminds me of series one of Sewing Bee, when there was a mixture of models. And then after that, it seemed to just go to lady models, apart from men's week, and then you get a man, and kids week, you get a kid. But I love the idea that the contestants can choose and say, you know what, this week, you know, they're doing jackets or trousers or whatever. And then they can say, okay, I would like to work on a man model or a lady model. I think it's great. I think it's good for diversity, and I think it's
definitely fantastic. I completely definitely agree with you on that. It was nice to see a bit of diversity come in, because I mean, don't get me wrong, I'm always more than happy to sew for women, and actually the majority of the people that have made stuff for are women, and I do enjoy making stuff for women, but it was nice to see that there was a bit of a mix-up. So yeah, well done, Sewing Bee.
Yes, I whereas I'm such a selfish sewer, and I mostly make for me. Sometimes I make for the husband, sometimes occasionally I make for my sister, but mostly I just make for me, so most of my stuff is menswear.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on to
Deborah.
It was a white top with red and green piping. It had a red zip. It had a little nod to the Welsh rugby team. It had a little sewing kind of label there with, I think it had a little Welsh flag or something on it. I had kind of put on this okay. Like I didn't really have strong opinions about it.
I got the rugby vibe. I got the nod to Wales. It was good. Zip was uneven. Not my favourite. I got it. But yeah, I wasn't blown away by this one. It was okay. And I really like Deborah. But yeah, it was all right.
Let's move on then. Let's go on to Jill, who I really did enjoy. She was in my top tops, and she produced a mustard scuba jacket which had an animal lining. I thought it was really fun. I thought it was fantastically sewn. I thought the addition of the fun lining was really great. It was definitely something I could see Nicola Adams wearing.
It's something I could see myself wearing.
I knew you were going to say that.
Animal print mustard, an animal print lined mustard bomber jacket. I was loving every single bit of it. I loved it. I loved it. So Jill, if you need to get rid of it, I will email you my postal address. Just hit us up on social media or however you want to contact us. If you need to get rid of it, my wardrobe is waiting, because I would wear that every single day that I could. I loved it.
Well done, Jill.
Not that I'm biased. Not that I'm biased towards anything yellow or animal print.
Thanks for sitting on the fence there, Sean. moving swiftly on to Manu.
Yeah,
had a multi-panel jacket, was very colourful. The sewing was incredibly accurate. It was like a stained glass window. It was insane. Yeah, just fantastic, really.
It was brilliant. Again, impeccable sewing. She planned her time perfectly. She knew what she was doing and she executed it beautifully. I am becoming a massive fan of Man Yi, very much. Yeah, I got the nod to rock climbing. I love that patchwork effect that she did. Yeah, I love this. I have nothing else to say other than utterly impeccable, and I loved it.
She really pushes herself, and I've got to like applaud her because she never goes the easy route. She is always picking a complicated pattern or a difficult fabric, and I don't know whether I would be that brave. So I've got to say, big round of applause to me. Like, that's just, she really goes for it, and it's so great to see. So good for you.
I swear to God, if she does not make it to the final, I don't think I will ever watch Sewing Bee ever again. I am just putting that out there. If she is not in the final, I will never watch Sewing Bee ever again.
We're not going to hold you to that, Sean.
Unlike the fan that's holding us to the pattern or one of the Sewing Bee challenges.
Because if she's not in the final, I don't want to have to find another co-host. So I'm not going to hold you to that.
Just send me a script.
Right. So another fantastic one was Marnie, who produced a olive scuba top, which had red gussets on the zip panels, and it had a red stripe down the back of the hood. It had navy trims. I've written down here that it's simply amazing. So much work, excellent sewing, just incredible the amount that she got done doing the gussets on the sleeves and the neck piece, and then the how the pocket was constructed. Those are not simple things to do in a short period of time. My only negative note to this was, I personally wasn't a massive fan of the color combination. Just that's my personal opinion. I wouldn't purchase something in those colors. If she'd have done it, if it was black and red, or kind of navy red and white, or even olive with like mustard and black trims, I would have been all over that. I'd have been like, right, where can I buy it? Just those colors I wasn't a fan of, but it didn't take away from an absolutely incredible, incredible jacket.
No, I thought this was brilliant, and I loved the little nod to her military history. Impeccable sewing. Marnie, again, I'm becoming a very, very big fan of hers. Her sewing is amazing. Yeah, like Man Yi, I don't really have much to say other than it was impeccable sewing. Really, really well done. And again, if I do not see Marnie in the final, I will be gobsmacked. I will be absolutely gobsmacked if she does not make it right to the end.
Well, we're going to talk about our top three in just a minute.
Yeah.
Last couple to talk about, we've got Richie.
Yeah.
Now, I loved the idea of Richie's. I liked the graphic elements he'd chosen. I absolutely loved that he had done a little diver zip puller. I thought that was adorable. I love that he had hand knitted the cuffs and the waistband. I didn't know you can do that. My husband can knit. I'm going to start getting him knitting cuffs for me because I thought that was incredible.
Okay, I will put in an order.
I'm going to have to get him to listen to this podcast. He doesn't usually listen, but I'm going to have to get him to listen so that he actually starts knitting us some stuff.
Fantastic.
The only issue was it was just way too small. Like, it was not even a little bit too small. It was like two sizes too small.
Yeah.
And so what I can only think is that when they sent him the model's measurements, they must have sent him the wrong measurements, or something in translation went wrong there, because they must be sent the measurements of the models beforehand so that they can make sure they buy the right pattern, because some patterns come and they're size, some patterns you get multi-size, but some are split size, so you might get, you know, small, medium, large, and then large, extra large, whatever. So I just think, did they give him the wrong, or did they give him the measurements and he thought they were inches and they were centimeters, or sorry, vice versa, because it was just really off.
It was a tad snug. As for why it was a tad snug, I don't know. Did he use too much for a seam allowance? Did he accidentally cut it out in the wrong size? I don't know. It was snug, and it's a shame because I actually really love the idea. He was doing it based on Tom Daley. He was doing it from a bird's eye view from the diving board. So he made a Tom Daley zip puller. So it kind of gave that little story of jumping from the diving board into the pool. It was a really, really clever idea. And I really, really liked the idea of it. But yeah, it was just a bit too tight. It was a shame. It was a shame because actually what I loved the most was the fact that it was Tom Daley inspired, but rather than just looking at Tom Daley as a diver, he looked at what Tom Daley has been doing over lockdown, which is he's taught himself how to knit and crochet, and he's been making lots of stuff. And I did want to buy one of the patterns, and they're very expensive. not that I'm criticizing, but I did look at one and I thought, maybe not. So I loved the fact that he gave that extra nod to Tom Daley outside of the sporting arena. But yeah, I don't know what went wrong there. I don't know. I don't think anyone will ever really know why it was so, so snug.
I mean, I will say on some patterns, the sizing can be very off. I think that sometimes, especially on the kind of vintage patterns, which are still kind of round now, the sizing is not what you expect it to be. Sometimes when you look at the measurements, they sometimes have multiple sizing tables because they've got one where what the measurement should be, one which is what the final garment sizes are, which are supposed to be with E. So it can be quite confusing. So maybe he just picked the wrong size. But
yeah.
Let's not dwell on that. Let's move on to the last person, which I've got, is Steve, who produced a 80s style jacket. It also looked like it was in a ripstop. It was very cool, and like the print was very vibrant and graphic. I really loved that. The only issue, and we saw it because they managed to catch that while they were filming, was when he just ploughed into the front with the overlocker and created that hole in it, which was a real shame. I liked the jacket.
It was a shame, and I think it's safe to say most people have been there when they've used an overlocker for the first time. You've always caught a bit, and it was a shame because it was really good, but I did love the fact that he tried to pass it off as to make the jacket more aerodynamic. I was like, yeah. We've got another joker on the show. This is going to be interesting. But yeah, I really, really liked it. And it was just a shame that he caught it. I mean, could there have been a way that he could have saved it? Could he have maybe have just made a little patch at the front or something?
I was thinking the same. What, if he had time, I would have just sewn on a little patch.
Yeah. Just in like in one of the bolder colours, just a little square patch there, just make it a bit of a design feature. But yeah, I really love this. I mean, I love an 80s print anyway. I think 80s prints are really, really cool. I love the fact that it had the contrasting colour with it. I thought this was really, really good. It was just a shame that he caught it. But I mean, that is the only fault it really had, was he just caught it with the overlocker.
Yeah, I mean, it was a lovely jacket. One thing I'm going to say about Steve as well, we've not really talked about Steve this episode because he's kind of fallen in the middle of the pack kind of in most of the challenges. But they did show quite a bit of Steve in the kind of VTs. Now, I'm going to set a little scene. I'm sat there with my notepad watching Sewing Bee. I might have had a biscuit or two there. So I'm sat there holding a biscuit, and then every few minutes, the Sewing Bee is saying, "So Steve runs ultra marathons," and I'm sat with my biscuit. And then 5 minutes later, "Steve teaches running." And then there's a VT of Steve going running. I'm like, all right, so I get it. Steve runs.
We get it. We're unhealthy.
Don't be. You're trying to make me feel bad. You're body shaming. What's going on?
Well, can I just say, with just going off the snack thing, Sarah trying to sabotage everyone with the little orange slices, sabotage through snacks, I thought that was a bit harsh. The one thing you should probably not eat when you're sewing is something sticky.
Don't want sticky fingers.
No one wants sticky fingers. Right, so shall we talk about garment of the week?
Yes, I mean, we've already spoken a bit about it. So it was Marnie's military-inspired jacket. I mean, it was fantastic.
Yeah, she completely deserved that. I was really, really blown away. And Marnie, I am really looking forward to seeing what she comes up with next.
Me too. I'm super excited. I think she's got some absolutely amazing stuff. I mean, other garment of the week could have been Brogan's transformation or Deborah's transformation, because I thought those were both fantastic as well. And sadly, we had to say goodbye to Chi-Chi this week, and it was sad in the sewing room. Everyone was crying.
Yeah, I mean, Chi-Chi's just got that lovely personality about her. And I was heartbroken to see her go. I was really looking forward to seeing what Chi-Chi was able to produce. I thought she was going to be one of those ones that starts off a little bit rocky, but then slowly starts to build her way up, gets her confidence, finds a rhythm. So yeah, I'm heartbroken to see Chi-Chi go. It's a shame, but I wish her all the best for whatever she does in her amazing career as a woman of science and in her sewing journey.
Yes, I agree with you. I thought she was a little bit like Nicole from series 6 or 7, where she started and then she had a couple of dodgy weeks to begin with. But then I thought she would really like find a step. So it was really sad. And it really showed how the group has formed a very close bond, that even in week two, they were so upset to see her go. It's really touching.
Yeah. It really was. So, top threes, has yours changed since last week?
To be honest, it hasn't really. I've got Marnie, Manu, and then I've got Brogan/Annie there as well. So I've got a top 3.5, really, to be honest.
Now, I will admit, I have slightly dropped Annie a little bit. Sorry, Annie. But Jill, I loved in this episode.
Okay.
So it's not because she produced a jacket that I really want to steal. I'm not being that biased.
Really?
My ultimately favourite jacket I've ever seen on Sewing Bee. No, I loved Jill when she was sewing. She just made me so happy when she was talking about sewing as well. I think we're going to see some amazing things coming from this woman. So I've still got Marnie and Manu, but I have got Jill up there.
Okay, so there we go. I think that's pretty much us done for today.
Yeah. So just next week is summer week. So we've got sheared mini dresses, which I misheard and I heard as sheer mini dresses. So I thought a bit risque, but then I watched it again a couple of times, listened to it, and she said sheared, not sheer. So yeah, sheared mini dresses. I would hate to be doing that. I hate shearing. So good luck, guys, next week. A hammock transformation and holiday-ready co-ords, which I am quite looking forward to seeing.
Oh, my God. You know I love a co-ord. I am all about that.
Yeah, he really is, people. He really is all about a co-ord.
I've done a leopard print co-ord for me and the husband. So we're like double co-ords. We are all about that leopard life.
Oh, definitely got to live that leopard life, as I'm looking at like the several leopard print shirts in my wardrobe sitting on my new leopard print duvet cover. So that is a goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me. And if you guys want to catch us, we're on Instagram, Sewing Bee Unpicked. We've got a little bit of merch on Redbubble, which will, any profits will go to me and Sean meeting up again in the future.
But actually doing the podcast, not just to pay for us to go for lunch. Just putting that out there.
Of course. Of
or
course.
Equipment.
We'll be buying microphones and stuff like that, not lattes. Yeah, fabric. We will not be doing that.
Yes.
So, yes, very goodbye from me.
And goodbye from me.
Bye.
Bye.